Hi, hello, how are you? You're listening to I've Always Said That with your host, Brad. And what are we doing today, everybody? Well, what everyone's been doing recently, catching up on White Lotus Season 3. Thank you, Mike White, for this. Oh my god, Mike White, White Lotus. The connections have been made. Oh, this podcast is already over. That's right. If you haven't seen the latest season of White Lotus, I mean, you can still listen to this. It's up to you. I know you like the tones of my soothing voice, but we're going to go over it, like thoughts and feelings, because I have a lot of thoughts and feelings. This, a little bit traumatic, I might say. Lots of things happened. It was a bit of a slow burn, as White Lotus always is, but I thoroughly enjoyed. So let's get into it. We're going to be focusing mainly on the finale, obviously referencing things that have happened throughout the season. I'll give a little recap, obviously, but the finale, summarizing it all together, bringing it all together, the conclusion, one might say, the finale episode. White Lotus Season 3. So basically the trio of girls have been fighting because Jacqueline slept with Valentin, the guy that works there, who also was a part of the thievery ring who got Guy Tok almost fired because he can't do his job. Love Guy Tok, but like, be so for real right now. Jacqueline slept with Valentin after keying up Laurie the whole bloody season. So Laurie was like, screw you. I'm going to go to this wrestling match and fuck yous. And then she got with Valentin's old mate and they had a great time. They just had a wonderful time. And I was like, good on her. But at the wrestling match, that's when Guy Tok and he's on date with Mook. And he realizes that Valentin and his mates are the ones that robbed the hotel like earlier in the season with all the jewelry and such. And it's like, ooh, he's got you now. Oh my God, my tones are just so on point today. Anyway, Laurie goes back with Valentine's mate, can't remember his name. They do the deed together and she realizes, well, she sees all the stolen jewelry and she's like, what the fuck? But anyway, she has to climb out the window because his girlfriend is like, I know she's in there. And well, she is. Anyway, so she goes back. Meanwhile, Guy Tok like confronts Valentin being like, well, he doesn't actually confront Valentin. Valentin is like, oh, I saw you at the boxing, like, how'd it go? And then he was basically like, I know you know. Please don't turn me in. I will be sent back to Russia and I will die. And I'm like, oh, send him back. The fuck? That's his job. What do you mean? And also, if I was Valentin, I'd be absolutely shitting my pants. Shitting my pants. Anyway, Rick gets back from Bangkok after visiting Shatala and Jim, where we also got the iconic monologue from his bestie Frank about wanting to be the girl, and he gets railed by guys and he gets girls to watch. And I'm like, sorry, that is the most R-rated thing I've ever said in my life. But I think the guy that plays Rick, can't remember his real name, he needs an Emmy, an Oscar. Give him a Tony while you're at it. Like, Jesus Christ, because like his confused face, I think might have been genuine. If they like got into that scene and they're like, just give your natural reaction. I think that's what that was, because that's what we were all feeling in that moment. Oh my God. Anyway, so Rick doesn't kill Jim in Bangkok because he's like, I don't know. He kind of just scares him a little bit and Jim falls back in his chair like a fucking little turtle. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. Also, Shatala, queen. We love her. She's a fucking icon. Legend. Anyway, Rick comes back to the hotel and Chelsea is so over the moon to see him. I love Chelsea so much. She is just so pure and wholesome and I just like want to protect her and all the bubble wrap in the world. And they're having a meal together and she's like, well, we're going to be together forever. And Rick's like, that's the plan. And I think it's the first time that she's like actually got this confirmation and this sign of like positivity from him at all, because she's just been trying to drag it out of him and he's been giving her nothing, and fuck, she's been patient. I could never. But he was finally like, that's the plan, and she's like, is it? I'm like, oh, she's so cute, she's so adorable, I love them so much. So this episode kills me. So they're having their little peaceful, lovey moment And I'm like, I love that for them. The trio of ladies have dinner at some point. Also, I'm talking live out of this completely out of timeline, but get over it. These are my thoughts and feelings. And they've just been fighting the whole time. Basically, Laurie was hungover the whole day from the big night she had had before. Also, doesn't mention the jewelry at all to anybody. It just does not get brought up again. And I'm like, as if she doesn't... I mean, does she know that that was the jewelry that was sold? Does she really know what the jewelry looks like? Like, she obviously would have thought it was sus, but still. Anyway, so they all finally have dinner together and they kind of have this, like... They make up a little bit and they're just like, I'm just so happy to be here. Blah, 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 blah. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know how to feel about it. But then Laurie has her little monologue and it's so sincere and beautiful. Like, fuck, give this woman an Oscar. Like, holy shit. It was tear jerking. She was like, I love that you have a beautiful face. And I'm like, and I love that you have a beautiful life. And I'm just happy to have a seat at the table. And I'm like, Laurie, you are so much more than that. You are everything. You are absolutely everything to me. Love her. My ranking is Laurie, Jacqueline, Kate. I don't know. I just don't think we got much from Kate this season. But anyway. Let's talk about the Ratliffs. Holy shit. Where do we even start? First of all, Victoria Ratliff, the mother, absolute icon. I think she was the pioneer of this season. Piper, no! Tsunami! You can't live in Taiwan, but you're not from China. Sorry, I know that like that interpretation was not close whatsoever, but that is all that's been playing in my head on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. There was this TikTok of like someone turned it into like a full DJ set and it was just like, you're not from China, dun, 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 or whatever the hell it was. And I was like, this is art. This is beautiful. Anyway, for the past 4 episodes, Timothy's been losing his goddamn fucking mind taking his wife's lorazepam. And I'm like, how has he not OD'd yet? I obviously don't know how much you're supposed to be taking, but he seems to be taking quite a lot. And if I was her, I'd be more worried about, like, how the fuck did all my pills just disappear? But she seems to quiet down pretty quickly. Anyway, he's losing his fucking mind because he realized his family's in shit. Because he's done something dodgy back home in the finance world and the FBI and everything's coming down on him. All his assets have been seized. All his family and his business and everything is gone. And his family doesn't know jack shit. So he's like, what am I gonna do? Ah, I know. I'm gonna poison everyone. Pardon? In the first episode, when they get to the hotel, Pam, one of the ladies that works there, she's Aussie, shout out. She's like, oh yeah, that's a fruit. Don't eat that fruit. They know it as the suicide fruit. Anyway, so he grabs the suicide fruit, grinds up all the seeds and puts them in the blender. And he's like, oh yeah, we're going to make cocktails to celebrate our last night in Thailand. And he makes them all and he pours everyone one except for Lockie. Because earlier he's like, do you think you could live, like, what does he say? Do you think you could be homeless? And Lockie's like, yeah, I think I could. Okay, go you, King. And it just helps the storyline that he's under 21. So Timothy doesn't pour him a suicide drink. Also, wait, no, I was skipping ahead. So they go to drink it. They all kind of take a sip and they're like, oh, it tastes a bit weird. He's like, no, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And imagine like they all die and Lockie just has to watch them all die. I'd be like, that's fucking traumatizing. What are you thinking? Anyway, he doesn't let them drink it. Timothy smacks it out of Saxon's hand and he's like, the coconut milk is off. The coconut milk is off. And I'm like, okay, sir. Okay. So he decides not to kill his family. That's so Christian of you. Oh my God, bless. But now I'm like, so what's going to happen to them? Who fucking knows? Anyway, the next morning, they're all out doing things. They cut a scene. I find out that they cut a scene between Piper and Belinda's son, Zion. They sleep together. Piper, as she's decided to not stay
in the Buddhist temple, which is why she brought her family here, because she needs aircon. Valid, but like same. But I also know that about myself. I need aircon. I don't take my family to Thailand because I'm going to stay in a Buddhist temple and know that I don't like aircon. Anyway, she sleeps with Zion and she's just like, she is her mother's daughter. That's kind of like her outfit changes, her demeanor changes after she's made this decision and this realization, and she's kind of settled into like the Ratliff life, basically. And they just cut that, and I'm like, I get it, timing and such, but I think that would have been a really cool scene to see. Anyway, Lockie wakes up and he's like, I'm gonna make a protein shake with the blender with the poison in it from the night before. And for some reason, Timothy doesn't fucking wash the blender out. And also, grossly, Lockie doesn't wash it out before using it. And I'm like, oh, you can see there's shit in there. Why are you not washing it out? I thought that was really foul. I think he did an interview after and everyone's like, why didn't you wash it out? And he's like, because he just thought that Saxon would have had one. And he's like, but it looked crusty as fuck. What do you mean? Anyway, he makes his protein shake and starts drinking it out by the pool. And basically the poison starts to take effect. And he's like throwing up. He collapses on the ground. I'm like, oh my fucking God, this kid's about to die. He's about to die. Holy shit. And what a way to go. After bloody pleasing your brother, the incest. Oh, sorry, I'm just remembering that whole conversation because they both got super drunk and he slept with Chloe and pleased his brother. What is this show? He's like, I'm just the people pleaser. That is not people pleasing. That's something else. So part of me is like, yeah, drink the poison. You know, but it was sad because I was like, oh, he doesn't deserve to die. Like, I get it. It's dramatic, whatever. But also you should have fucking rinsed the jug. Anyway, he collapses on the ground and Timothy wakes up, sees him and runs out to the help. He's like, Lockie, somebody help me. And I'm like, fuck, this is dramatic. This is a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, long story short, he wakes up somehow. I guess he just didn't fucking drink enough of it. And I'm like, that's kind of anticlimactic. This whole thing of the poison and such has been teased since the first episode, basically. And no one dies from it. Okay, sure, whatever. So speaking of Chloe, Gary. Gary's there. You don't remember Gary. He met our beloved Tanya / Jennifer Coolidge in season one, got married to her, and then basically had her killed off in season two to get all her fortune. And he moves to Thailand. And Belinda, the massage therapist from season one of White Lotus in Hawaii, is in Thailand to do some training with Porn Chai. And she recognizes Gary. And she's like, oh, I know you. And he's like, I don't think you do. No, you don't. And she's like, yeah, yeah. And she does some research and stuff. And she's like, yeah, that's him. And then finds out what happens to Tanya. And I'd be like, fuck, I'm getting the fuck out of there. If I was Belinda, I'd be like, see ya. This man got her killed and got away with it. I'm gone. You'll never see me again. I'd be like, straight out of there. But no, of course not. That's not what happens. Gary realizes that he can't. She knows who he is. So he has a big party, invites her over, and tries to pay her off. He offers her, what was the first offer? $100,000. But he doesn't frame it as, like, payoff money. He's like, oh, I didn't kill Tanya. Like, it obviously looks very bad, but I just wanted to get out and live the rest of my life in Thailand. So this is what I'm going to do. Tanya would have wanted you to have this money to start your business. So I'm going to give you $100,000, but also, you know, keep that I'm here on the DL. See, so many things go through my mind. I'm like, how are you going to give me $100,000 with no questions asked? Like, $100,000 is about to come into my bank account and the police, the bank's going to be like, where the fuck did this money come from? I don't get it. And you have to be like, oh, it just came from the murderous man in Thailand who killed the multi-billionaire Jennifer Coolidge. These gays! Well, actually, straight white bald man was responsible in the end. Anyway, she goes away and comes back with her son Zion. And I really do not appreciate Zion's acting in this. I think he's supposed to be like this annoying kid that's like trying to beef up the deal from Gary a little bit, but I'm not loving it. Anyway, he's like, you're going to offer my mom $5 million. And Belinda's like, what? No. And like walks out. She's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And Zion follows the way out. And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm playing the bit. And I'm like, oh, Belinda. Oh my God, you crazy girl. Now that you're on board, I'm on board. Love you, Belinda. So Zion goes back in and is like, it's 1% of your fucking $1 billion. $5 million is nothing to you. You'll be right. But he's like, I'll think about it. Anyway, Belinda wakes up one morning with Zion not in the room because that is the morning that Zion and Piper slept together. Anyway, with $5 million in a bank account. Oh my God. Like, what would you even do? Like, what would the first thing you do be? Obviously, get the fuck out of there. And be like, yeah, you're never going to see me again. Don't worry. I got my mouth shut. But holy shit. Anyway, she goes to Pawn Shy and she's like, I have to go. This is after they've kind of like built their connection. They've like slept together. Pawn Shy suggested that they like started a business together, which is exactly what Belinda pitched Tanya in the first season. And Tanya was like, no, I'm going to go. So I've seen people say Belinda pulled a Tanya and was like, okay, we're not doing this. I'm just going to go. But put yourself in Belinda's shoes. She's been working so hard for so long. She never said that she was going to do this with Pawn Shy. And someone's just, a murderer has given her $5 million to get up and get the fuck out of there and keep her mouth shut. You're going to get up there and get the fuck out of there and keep your mouth shut. $5 million, done. I'm happy. I'm set for life. You don't need to see me again. Pawn Shy, you'll be fine. Anyway, that's the kind of end of that storyline. Sorry, I've got this like full graph of every single character's face on it with like, I look like a crazy person with red lines drawn between people and symbols and such. And oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, breakfast. This is where the season kind of takes a turn. Rick and Chelsea are having breakfast. And who shows up? Shatala and Jim. I don't know what he was thinking. Of course they're going to show up. Shatala and Jim own the hotel. Anyway, Jim's gone up to get some more food. Oh, sorry. Rick's gone up to go get some more food. And Jim just comes up to him. And he's like insulting him, insulting his mother and everything. It's being like, I remember her. She was a dumb bitch or whatever. I killed her. Your dad. Oh, yeah. No, sorry. Your dad. I killed your dad. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. And Rick, it's really, you can just see his whole, like, he was finally had this inner peace and it had settled and you just see it crack. You just see everything fall apart in seconds. And Jim's got like a gun underneath his coat. He shows it to him. He's like, you can't touch me. And it's like, oh, and he's got like his security around him and everything. And I'm like, oh, shit. Rick goes back to the table with Chelsea and Chelsea's like, what just happened? And he's like, he insulted my mother. And Chelsea's like, just leave it. Just leave it. You can't do anything. It's fine. Of course he doesn't fucking leave it. How could he leave it? Gah! So he gets up and he goes to try and find Amrita, I think it is, the lady that was helping him with his anger issues. And he finds her, but she's having her appointment with Zion, which is what we see in the first episode. She's like, no, I've got an appointment. You will be fine. He's like, I need to talk to you now. I'm like, lady, you should have talked to this man. You should have talked to this man. But she's like, you will be fine. I have an appointment. I'll be back in an hour. I'm like, an hour? This man is clearly on edge. And you're going to be like, just sit here for an hour. You'll be fine. Crazy. But okay, sure. Amrita and Zion go and have their little meeting. And so he's sitting there. He's like riling himself up. The anger is brewing inside of him. And Shatala and Jim are there because they want to get a photo with Jacqueline, who's like a big Hollywood actor or something. They're big fans of her show and they want to get a photo with her. So she's there with Laurie and Kate as well. So they're all kind of standing like on a bridge in the distance. And he's just like goes to get up And Chelsea appears and she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like, you get out of here. I'm like, Rick, don't you do it. Don't you do it, Rick. I swear to God. And Chelsea's like, no. And he's like, get out of here. I'm like, no. Stop. What the fuck is about to happen? He walks right up behind Jim, turns him around and grabs the gun out of his coat. And he's like, fuck you. And like shoots him 3 times. And it's like, oh my God. Immediately spawns the meme of the season. Laurie is immediately running the fuck out of there. She is the track star for the US Olympics. She is completely gone. Jacqueline and Kate like hesitate for a second, but they sprint off. Fabian, the hotel manager, like falls off the bridge with camera in hand because he's there. He's nowhere near as good as the last two hotel managers we've had. But I'm like, oh my God. And Tritala's like holding Jim on the floor dead. And she's like, he was your father. He told me. And I was like, I fucking knew it. I knew it. I called it from early on, I swear to you, that he was Rick's father. I mean, look at them. The casting was so on point. They even look like they could be related. So he just shot his father. So basically, they've got bodyguards and everything. So they start shooting at Rick. And Rick's like, you know, pew, 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 pew. He manages to take out both fucking bodyguards. They're both dead. But he turns around and guess who else is dead? Chelsea! They shot Chelsea. So she's lying there, dying, tear coming down her cheek. And I'm just... It's far too much for me to handle. It's just devastating. He picks Chelsea up and he's like walking away with her along a bridge. She's dead in his arms. And Guy Tok comes up behind her and he's in behind him and he's like, stop, stop, like pointing a gun at him. And Shritala, God bless her, she's like, kill him, shoot him. And I'm like, oh my God. So Guy Tok does, he shoots him. So he falls dead into like the little river pond thing with Chelsea and they're both floating in the water dead. And I'm like, that's the plan. They're going to be together forever. And I'm like, oh, that's so fucking rough. That's really fucking rough. I can't believe that. So basically that's about it, really. The three ladies leave on the same boat as the Ratliffs. We don't get any how the Ratliff journey ends. They get all their phones back on the boat and Timothy's like, we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this together. And they're all like, what are you talking about? And they all look at their phones and I think Saxon and Victoria have this realization of like, what the fuck? And we don't get anything. We don't know what happens to them. And I'm like, what do you mean? Their whole storyline has been about them not going to be going home and not having any money. And we don't get to know what happens to them. There was this quote Mike White did. He's like, I'm going to edge you this whole season. Like, if you don't want to be edged, get out of bed. And I'm like, geez. Well, we didn't get any payoff for that. But like, I still enjoyed it thoroughly. We see Belinda and Zion take off in their own yacht together. And I'm like, that's nice for them. Good on them. They're rich now. Bless. Whatever. Guy Tok ends up being Shritala's bodyguard. And Mook is in love with him now. And I'm like, so Mook was just a nothing character. There was all these theories about her actually being in on like the thievery with Valentin and everything. But no, she was just there and only wanted Guy Tok if he was like good at his job. I'm like, oh, okay, work. But yeah, look, I think it was a great season. I actually really thoroughly enjoyed this season. Probably the first half more than the second half. I think there was a couple episodes that just dragged out a little bit too long with like actually no payoff to anything that was happening. But I get that the series is a slow burn. Saying that, I like it better than season 2. Season 2 for me was just far too disjointed with the storylines and I didn't see it all come together, where I think this season had a lot more through line with things going on and everything was kind of brought together a little bit more. So I enjoyed that. Sad that there was no Jennifer Coolidge because we love her, but I think it was still a pretty good season. I'd give it a 7.5 out of 10. That's my thoughts and opinions. So I don't know if there's going to be a season 4. I hope so, but I'm in no rush for a season 4. I think a year and a half, 2 years. I think over that, I'll just lose interest completely. But I think they all did a great job. All the actors were fucking phenomenal. Amy Lou Wood is incredible. Carrie Coon, who played Laurie, amazing. So props to them. All right, well, you make sure to let me know your thoughts and opinions on The White Lotus Season 3 in the comments using the hashtag I've Always Said That. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, share with your friends. Follow us on Instagram at ivealwayssaidthat.pod. This has been your host, Brad, for I've Always Said That. Thank you. You're welcome. Love you. Bye.